أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So we're going to look at Surah Al-Jin today. It's Surah number 72. It's a phenomenal surah, only 28 ayat. It's a Makki surah. And before I go into anything else, I will go to the benefits of recitation. So the benefits of recitation of this surah is somebody who recites Surah Al-Jin, and this is from the Prophet, will never be touched with an evil eye or magic or witchcraft or anything that's to do with jinns. So very often people get scared. They say Najar Lai Guche or whatever words they use. But Surah Al-Jin is known for one that will protect us from it. I'm going to look first at what jinn is. I mean, what does the word come from? The word jinn comes, even Jannah comes from the same word or same root word, which is to cover. A fetus in the belly of the mom is called janin because it is covered by the womb. So anything that is hidden in essence is used the same root word as you have jinn. That's why Jannah is called Jannah, because greenery covers everything. In the Arabic language, a garden is hadika. Jannah, and you see it in Surah, I think it's in Surah Al-Kahf, where Allah says, تِلْكَ الْجَنَّةً, there were two gardens. That means those gardens were so lush that, you know, the greenery covered everything. So Jannah is something that's totally covered. In the Quran, Allah uses the same word, like jan, for a snake. So he uses hayya, which we, I don't know whether you were with me, but we've looked at it when we looked at the story of Prophet Musa. I think we look at it on Thursdays. He also uses ثُعْبَان. But you see, the Arabs of that culture connected jinn with something that would terrify you. So a snake would terrify you. It was like you saw jinn. So in Arab culture, jinn, as in the snake, and the jinn were connected. As far as what we know, they're a creation made from smokeless fire, who like human beings, and I think I've got some, probably, trying to see if I can, there you go. So they're made from smokeless fire, and they have a free will to choose, just like human beings do. They have the same thing as human beings do. And I'll talk about when this chapter was revealed in a minute. So we find these jinn are mentioned in Surah Al-Rahman. فَبِأَيَّ عَلَىٰ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. We also find a mention in Surah Al-Ahqaf. Surah Al-Ahqaf is surah number 46 of the Quran. And maybe if you've got your Quran with you, which you probably have, I have mine in front of me, then you will look at ayahs, let me tell you, I think it's 29 and 30. So if we look at ayah 29 and 30, you might be able to see what it says. It says, وَإِذْ صَرَفْنَا إِلَيْكَ نَفَرًا مِنَ الْجِنِّ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقُرْآنَ فَلَمَّا حَذَرُوهُ كَالُوا أَنْسِتُوا فَلَمَّا قُضِيَ وَلَوْ إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِمْ مُنذِرِينَ. Now this ayah actually says, when we turn to a party of the jinn towards you, Muhammad, to listen to the Qur'an, when they attended the Qur'an recitation, they said to each other, be silent. And when it was over, they turned back to the people in warning and said, we have listened. They said, ya qawmana, we have listened to this Qur'an, which is to a recitation of Qur'an revealed after Musa. So if you see Surah Al-Ahqaf, it'll tell you the same incident that we're going to see now. So let's first look at the focus of the surah. So the focus of the surah is, in essence, an authentication of the Qur'an by the jinn. So they actually listened to it and said, this is guidance. It talks about Allah being the sole knower of the unseen, and we'll come to it and understand what I'm trying to say. And then there is a response from divinity about the Prophet. So first you have the jinn talking about the Qur'an, talking about themselves, and then we have the divinity's response, and again, that response is given by the Prophet. So let me tell you a little bit about when this surah was revealed. So as you can imagine, the Prophet has gone to a market in Ta'if. And the market in Ta'if was supposed to be, it was called Iqaz. And this was a posh market. So let me just tell you a little bit about Ta'if. Ta'if was a place where the rich had their holiday homes. I'm going to try and put it in our sort of language. So the Arabs who had lots of money in Makkah had their holiday homes in Ta'if. And the Prophet thought that if these were successful people in inverted brackets, then maybe they would be willing to listen to reason. They will understand something if it was put intellectually to them. And so he puts the Quran to them. He puts the message of Tawheed to them. But they chase him out. They actually chase him out. In fact, they get their children to throw stones at him. And he's really, really upset. So you can imagine he's outside Ta'if. He's sitting under a tree. You've got to imagine the scenario. His feet are bleeding. He's really, really upset. And he's sitting there and he's reciting Quran. Because Quran is his solace. That's which gives him solace. There are very many ahadiths which tell us what he was reciting. I mean, there are ahadiths that tell us this was called the Valley of the Jinn. Whatever it was, he was there really, really upset. So the jinn who are passing by here, they're passing by, they listen to this Quran, and they respond. Now, the Prophet does not see them or hear them, as we will see in this surah. We see how Allah reveals to him what these jinn are saying. So we've divided the surah into two sections, ayah 1 to 19. And ayah 1 to 19 is feedback from the jinn about themselves and the Quran. So it's feedback from them. And the second section is response from divinity about the role of the Prophet. So first of all, I'm just going to give you a little bit of history as well besides this. So we have the jinn and we see what's happening to them. So the jinn sit there, and one of the things they could do was they were able to hear conversations from the heavens. So they could eavesdrop on conversations. They could go to different places of the heavens and could eavesdrop on them. But suddenly they found that when they went to the heavens to get to this conversation, they couldn't hear them anymore. Suddenly there was a security level that stopped them from entering. So maybe it's just the way if you and I had access to a website or had access to our accounts with various of the providers that provide us with things, and suddenly we're stopped and they say you need a two-level authentication to get through. So they're worried. They're thinking, what's happening? Something's happening. We can't go near. They found angels shooting meteorites at them. So they're really, really distressed. But one thing they know, that if there's such tight security, then something's happening. Even today in the world, when you find a country has got some tight security, there's something going on. So they knew there was something going on. So they thought it was either a punishment that was going to come to the world, or there was guidance. So they're roaming around the world trying to find a solution. That is why that's how they hear the Prophet. So now we're going to go verse by verse, and we're going to look at this. So here we go. Ayah number 1. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Qul. Say. So the Prophet has said, say. Uhiya ilayya. It has been revealed to me. Which means he was informed. It's not that he heard the jinn. He didn't see them. He was informed. What was he informed? Annahu stama'a nafarun min al-jinn. We all know Sami Allahu liman hamidah. That they heard. Who heard? Nafarun, a party min al-jinn. A party of the jinn heard, listened. Faqalu, and they said, inna sami'na Qur'anan ajaba. Indeed, we have heard an amazing recitation. Quran and Ajaba is a recitation that's amazing, something that's taken us back. We listen to it and we think, oh my goodness, what is this? So that's what they said. What did that recitation do to them? It must have affected them in some way. So they say, Yahdi ila rushdi. It guided us to the right way. Something in that recitation struck a chord in our souls and it did something to us. Fa'amanna bihi. We believe in it. We submit to it. We trust in this. So one of the things that they're talking about the Quran is that what they hear is resonating with their souls. وَلَن نُشْرِكَ بِرَبِّنَا أَحَدًا. And we now will not set up anyone with our Rabb. So that was their first thing. No shirk. And then they said, وَأَنَّهُ تَعَالَى. And that he, this Rabb, my goodness, he is so high. Jaddun Rabbana mattakhadha sahibatan wala walada. So they're saying, Jaddu Rabbina, he is like way up there. Really, his majesty is amazing. And he does not take with him a wife or a partner or a son. So shirk is completely out of question. So they've obviously heard something that resonates with their soul. What surah? I don't know. There are so many different ahadiths that tell us different ones. Then they say, now they say, وَأَنَّهُ. And indeed, كَانَ يَقُولُ سَفِيهُنَا. The one, you know, somebody who's safiha is somebody who's stupid or foolish. The foolish one amongst us, the stupid one amongst us, عَلَيَّ عَلَى شَتَّتَ. So he said some, he went beyond the limits when he talked about Allah to us. As far as we were concerned, he was our teacher. They're talking about Shaitan. He was really somebody we trusted. And he told us things that we believed, but he went beyond the limits. I'm going to just stop there a second so that we understand what they're trying to say. Very often, sometimes, when, and I'm not trying to demean anyone here, no, not at all, but sometimes when you see somebody who is in the garb of a scholar, we take their words as gospel, and we should when they're the right scholars. But they're saying, we took this person's word for gospel, we believed in him, yet he was the foolish one. Look what they say. Oh, by the way, there are 12 wa'anna. So just remember that. So this is the third one. Wa'anna dhananna. And we thought, أَلَّنْ تَقُولُ الْإِنسُ وَالْجِنُّ عَلَى اللَّهِ الْقَذِبَ. We never ever thought that human beings and jinn would ever say a lie against Allah. In our culture, when somebody does something wrong, in Gujarati we say, don't they even think about Allah? Don't they fear Allah? So basically what they're trying to say is that we thought nobody could ever lie against Allah. They were preaching to us. He was preaching to us. He was our teacher. We didn't know teachers could ever lie. Then they say, وَأَنَّهُ كَانَ رِجَالٌ مِّنَ الْإِنْسِ. And then we also saw that people from men, مِّنَ الْإِنْسِ, يَعُوذُونَ بِرِجَالٍ مِّنَ الْجِنِ. They, you know, أَعُوذُ, to seek refuge. They sought refuge with the jinn, فَزَادُهُمْ رَحَكَ. And they just increased their stupidity, their idiocy. What does that mean? Very often, when we think we haven't got solutions, in other words, they're so gullible. When we think we haven't got solutions with divinity, we resort to other means. And sometimes people resort to jinn, and sometimes they resort to some crazy stuff. And the jinns are saying they were so stupid that we made them even more stupid. We made them do things that were stupid because they, instead of taking refuge from Allah, they took refuge from the jinns, from unseen powers. Even today, especially during lockdown, if you look at some of the websites that you Google, they will tell you, we can help you to tell you who your soulmate is. Just, you know, we are able to tell you where you are. We're able to tell you how to help you through this. And this is exactly what this ayah is saying. And then, this is the fifth one. This is ayah 7, but the fifth anna. وَأَنَّهُمْ ذَنُّوا كَمَا ذَنَنْتُمْ أَنْ لَيَبْعَثَ اللَّهُ أَحَدًا. And they thought that they would never be accountable. They would never be raised again. So, we're looking at a scenario where these jinn are giving feedback to the Prophet. They're telling the Prophet, my goodness, our teacher lied to us. This Quran definitely makes sense to us. Then they're saying that we never thought that people could lie against Allah. Don't they have any fear of Allah? I'm trying to paraphrase. And then they said, there are people of the human being who know this, but they take refuge in the jinn. And one of the reasons is because they do not believe in accountability. They think they will never have to face Allah. وَأَنَّا لَمَسْنَا السَّمَاءَ فَوَجَدْنَاهَا مُلِئَتْ حَرَسًا شَدِيدًا وَشُحُبًا. So we try to get to the heavens. So this is what we've been doing all the time. But they're saying, we had, in other words, they had the ability to eavesdrop on angelic communications. But whenever we went there, we found it fill, muliyat is to fill. We found it fill, harasan, shadidan, strong guards. And then we found shuhban, we found falling stars. We found meteorites there. Next. وَأَنَّا كُنَّا نَقْعُدُ مِنْهَا مَقَاعِدِ الصَّمْتِ. And we used to find little niches in the heavens which we used to sit and listen into. But even those were not there now. فَمَنْ يَسْتَمْعِ الْآنَ يَجِدْ لَهُ شِهَابًا رَصَدًا. And now when we tried to sit there, there was a meteorite, there was a flame waiting for us. So in other words, they're saying that before we could have little snatches of conversation, but more recently, there's an increase in security. We're shot down. It's like heat-seeking missiles. We realize that something that is of utter importance is coming down from the heavens to the earth. Something is happening that is so great that we are beyond it and we can't hear what it is. So now they're saying, وَأَنَّ, and indeed, this is the eighth وَأَنَّ, لَا نَدْرِي, we don't know. أَشَرٌ أُرِيد بِمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ, is it that something evil, something like a punishment is going to happen to the earth? أَمْ أَرَادَ بِهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ رَشَدًا, or will their Rabb bring them good? And you got to understand the semantics of this. Look at this sentence. They don't put Rabb in the beginning. They don't say, وَأَنَّا لَا نَدْرِي, we don't know that the Ashar will come from the Rabb. They know, they've got common sense. They know that if there's anything evil, it's from human beings themselves. But they're saying that either there is something of a punishment that's coming to people on the earth, or there is guidance coming from their Rabb. We don't know what's happening. We have no access. We don't know whether it's right or wrong, but we know something great's happening. Next one, ninth one. This is Ayah 11, but the ninth Anna. وَأَنَّا, now they're talking about themselves. وَأَنَّا مِنَّا الصَّالِحُونَ, there are some of us who are salih, we're good. وَمِنَّا دُونَ ذَلِكَ, but there are some of us who are different. So some of us are good and some of us are a bit not very good, in other words. كُنَّا تَرَائِكَ كِدَدَ, we all have different methodologies of work. We're different, we're all different. So basically they're trying to say that we have different beliefs. We work in different ways. Okay, so that was Ayah 11. Ayah 12. وَأَنَّا ذَنَنَّا أَنْ لَمْ نُعْجِزَ اللَّهَ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَمْ نُعْجِزَهُ حَرَبًا. That's Ayah 12. And we know this for a fact, that we cannot. Now, when you say, أَنْ لَمْ نُعْجِزَ اللَّهَ, nobody can overpower Allah في الأرض, in the earth. وَلَنْ نُعْجِزَهُ حَرَبًا, and nor can we escape him by running away. So they've come to that conclusion. They're saying we can't run away from his domain. وَأَنَّا, this is the 11th one. لَمَّا سَمِعْنَا, and that when we heard the guidance. وَأَنَّا لَمَّا سَمِعْنَا الْهُدَى, when we heard the guidance, آمَنَّا بِهِ, immediately we believed in it. You could think of the magicians of Fir'aun, who when they saw Musa and they heard him, immediately they believed in it. There were so many people who, when they heard the Prophet, they believed in it. That's why when people entered Makkah, one of the conditions you had, that you had to put corks in your ears, you had earplugs, because they told you whenever you go and see Muhammad sitting near the Kaaba, do not listen to him, because he will, his words will, they'll work like magic on you, they'll entice you. But those who had akal said, nobody's words can change us, and they would listen and they would believe. So they're saying the same thing. They're saying, وَأَنَّا لَمَّا سَمِعْنَا الْهُدَىٰ آمَنَّا بِهِ, when we heard in it, we believed in it. فَمَنْ يُؤْمِنْ بِرَبِّهِ, whoever believes in his Rabb, فَلَا يَخَافُ بَخْسًا وَلَا رَحَكًا, we know one thing, that they will never be short-changed. بَخْسًا means you will always be paid in full. بَخْسًا means short-changed. So they're saying they should never fear being short-changed. وَلَا رَحَكًا, and they will never be taken over or never be disgraced, in other words. This is everything they've picked up from the recitation of the Quran from the Prophet. And then they're saying, وَأَنَّا مِنَّ الْمُسْلِمُونَ, and that some of us are those who submit. وَمِنَّ الْقَاسِطُونَ, and there are some of us who are unfair. See, قَسَطَ, you need to write this down, because There is adl, which is justice, and there's qist. Adl means to be just. Qist means not to be unfair. There's a subtle difference between the two. Now, qasata is to be unfair. Aqsata is to remove unfairness. And the Quran says, "Inna Allaha yuhibbul muqsitun." Muqsit is someone who removes unfairness. Maybe when we come to another ayah of the Quran, we'll do the difference between them. But there is a difference between being just, and then there's another one to remove unfairness. Just like there's a difference between telling the truth and not telling the whole truth, hiding the truth. Anyway, so think about it. So they are saying, from amongst us, there are those who submit and those who are unfair. فَمَنْ أَسْلَمَ But those who submit, فَأُولَٰئِكَ تَحَرَّوْ رَشَدًا They have set their aim, they have looked at their direction as one of guidance. And then they're saying themselves, وَأَمَّا الْقَاسِتُونَ فَكَانُوا لِجَهَنَّمَ حَتَبًا Those who are unfair, they will be the fuel of Jahannam. Now, Hataba, you all know, Surah number 111, Surah Al-Lahab. Hataba is firewood, fuel is firewood, so Hataba is firewood. Now this next ayah, maybe is something that divinity says. He says, وَأَنْ لَوْ اسْتَقَامُوا عَلَى الطَّرِيقَ If they were, and we say, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ So istiqamu is to the straight way. If they had stuck to, if they had kept to the tariqah, the right way, لَأَسْقَيْنَاهُمْ مَاعًا غَدَكَ We would have given them abundant water to drink. غَدَكَ is when there is water, you never need any more. Something that will keep with, or something that will upkeep lush gardens. So basically Allah is saying, if you sat, and again we're talking spiritually here, if you went on the right way, then He will provide guidance, you won't need any more. The Qur'an will provide you enough guidance. And then He says, لِنَكْتِنَهُمْ فِيهِ So that we, لِنَكْتِنَهُمْ, sorry, فِيهِ فَتَنَا is to purify gold. So we will test them with respect to it. With what? With respect to guidance, with respect to what their aim is, whether they want to be rightly guided or not. وَمَنْ يُعْرِضْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ رَبِّهِ Whoever arada to turn aside, and whoever turns aside, whoever ignores the remembrance of their Rabb, يَسْلُكْهُ عَذَابًا سَعَدًا Salak is to throw. So we will literally fling them in a punishment that is not very good, in an elevating punishment. You know, sa'ada is to climb up, right? So it's a climbing punishment. وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا Now, although the translation here of masjid is a place where you do sajda, masajid is places of sajda, it could be anything. It could be our times of sajda, it could be our limbs of sajda, anything. What this is trying to say is that at the time and at the places of sajda, you will not call anyone except Allah. So in other words, he's saying, sajda is for no one but Allah. وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا When you are praying, when you are in sajda, don't call upon anyone except Allah. That is His, totally His. وَأَنَّهُ لَمَّا كَامَ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ And when the abd of Allah stands, يَدْعُوهُ And he calls upon him, كَادُوا يَكُونُونَ عَلَيْهِ لِبَدًا You will find people who want to listen and see everything. You see, when the Prophet was reciting Quran, the jinns were crowding around. What's he reciting? We all want to know. They were literally jumping up on each other. There is another another thing that's given here, which says that the Quraysh, when the Prophet was reciting Quran or he was praying, they would sort of jump around, almost falling over each other, trying to listen to what he was saying. So أنه لما كان عبد الله يدعوه كاد يكون عليه لبدا. لبدا is actually falling on top of each other. So it was either the jinn listening to the Quran, one of them is that tafsir, the other tafsir says the Quraysh wanted to see what he was saying because the words were so amazing. So that ayah 1 to 19 is talking about the jinn's response and to them reciting the Quran and a bit of Allah adding on about how important the Quran and Salah was. Now we look at the second section, and this is the response from divinity about the role of the Prophet. And we will see those five major aspects, which was he calls only on Allah, he doesn't control good or evil, he seeks refuge only from Allah, he only delivers the messages ordered, and that it is only Allah who is the knower of the unseen. So now the Prophet is told what to say to the jinn. He says, "Qul," say to them, "Innama ad'u Rabbi wa la ushriku bihi ahada." I only call upon my Rabb. I don't associate anyone with him. This is the Prophet's word. He says, that is my first point of call to you. What you want to learn about me is that this Quran, this guidance tells me I will only call upon Allah. Nobody. I will not associate anybody with him. Number two. قُلْ إِنِّي لَا أَمْلِكُ لَكُمْ ذَرًّا وَلَا رَشَدًا. I do not control for you evil or good. The control is with Allah. Number three. قُلْ إِنِّي لَنْ يُجِيرَنِي مِنَ اللَّهِ أَحَدٌ وَلَنْ أَجِدَ مِنْ دُونِهِ مُلْتَحَدًا. Even I, if I were to do anything wrong, nobody can protect me against Allah. So he's trying to say, protection only comes from Allah. وَلَنْ أَجِدُ And you won't find مِنْ دُونِهِ مُلْتَحَدًا. You won't find any refuge except with Allah. So this is the Prophet telling them their first lessons of what Islam is all about or what believing is all about. Then the Prophet said, إِلَّا بَلَاغًا مِنَ اللَّهِ My job is only to deliver the message. Balagh is to make it reach its place. وَرِسَالَاتِهِ And his messages. Balagh is to reach, risalati is the messages. وَمَنْ يَعْسِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ And whoever disobeys Allah and his messenger. فَإِنَّ لَهُ نَارَ جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا They will have the fire of Jahannam where they will stay for a long time. So basically he's saying this is only a message, a communique from Allah. Now it is up to you what you want to do. You have free will. And then he says, حَتَّى إِذَا رَأَوْا And now the problem is they will only understand this until they see رَأَوْ مَا يُعَدُونَ فَسَيَعْلَمُونَ مَنْ أَضْعَفُ نَاصِرًا وَأَقَلُّ عَدَدًا Until they see what they are threatened with, then will they know how weak they are, in numbers, how weak they are in helpers, until they will see who is weaker in helpers. Now, if we find it in Surah Al-Takathur, the Quraysh used to even count the number of people in the graveyard. They wanted to count them to say, look how many people we have. So they believed in numbers. So Allah is saying, you can count as much as you like. You can have as many people as you like. But you will see who is weaker. It's not your numbers. It's not quantity. It's quality. Number four. This is the fourth one. قُلْ Say to them, إِنْ أَدْرِي أَقَرِيبٌ مَا تُعَدُونَ أَمْ يَجْعَلُ لَهُ رَبِّي أَمَدًا Say, I don't know. I don't know whether what you're threatened with is near, when it's going to happen, when this term is going to be there. I don't know anything. I don't know when the threat will be carried out. Is it going to be now? Is it going to be later? I really don't know. I have no idea. So he's saying, this is with Allah. And this is what I was saying in the beginning. Alimul ghaybi fala yudhiru ala ghaybihi ahada. He is alimul ghayb. He is the knower of the unseen. He will not reveal his ghayb, his unseen to anyone. He doesn't manifest his unseen knowledge to absolutely anyone. There is a whole discussion about the unseen knowledge of Allah and the unseen knowledge of the Masumin, the Prophet and the Masumin. I'm just going to give you a little bit on this. There's Imam Sadiq. So there's a hadith from Imam Sadiq which says, إِذَا أَرَادَ الْإِمَامُ أَنْ يَعْلَمُ شَيْئًا أَعْلَمَهُ اللَّهُ بِذَلِكَ. When the Imam intends to know something, Allah teaches that thing to him. But there is a major difference between the two. Allah's knowledge is limitless. The knowledge that is given to the Masumin and the Prophets has a limit. Allah's knowledge is infinite. The knowledge that may be given to the Prophets and the Masumin is of a nature where there is a beginning and an end. With Allah, there is no beginning and there is no end. So there's a whole discussion. If you look, there is a book here that's translated by Salim Bimji. It is compiled by a group of scholars under the supervision of Sheikh Nasir Makarim Shirazi. Looks something like that. This is basically the whole of Surah Al-Jin. But at the end, you will see a whole discussion on the Ilmul Ghaib. Well, many of us sometimes get a little bit confused. So if you have time, you may be able to read it in there. This is where Imam Sadiq's hadith comes in. Illa man irtadha min rasulin. So Allah is a knower of the unseen. He doesn't manifest his unseen knowledge to anyone except to the one that he chooses as a messenger. فَإِنَّهُ يَسْلُكُ مِنْ بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَمِنْ كَلْفِهِ رَسَدًا. Because he places in front and behind guardian angels when the knowledge comes. Just as we saw telling the jinn that they couldn't access the knowledge because there were guards in the heavens that were stopping them from accessing this knowledge. This statement says that when Allah gives this knowledge, there is always guardians between the knowledge, I mean before and after it. Why? لِيَعْلَمَ أَنْ كَدْ أَبْلَغُ رِسَالَاتِ. So that he may know that they have delivered the message of their Rabb. وَأَحَاتَ بِمَا لَدَيْهِمْ وَأَحْسَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ عَدَدًا. And that he encompasses and records the computing of all things. So in essence, this is talking about Allah, it is talking about the Prophet only being a deliverer of the message, make me understand, he can't make me believe, and Allah the knower of everything. So if we go back a bit and just summarize the whole thing, maybe we'll be able to see it a bit better. So I'm going to start just by a summary of the whole thing so we know what's happening. You've got the benefits of recitation. I told you there was a protection from the evil eye. There's some other protection that's granted in hadith as well. But mainly it is about protection from evil eye, from jinn, from anything we don't understand. So two things. One, the jinn hear the Quran. They've been looking for a solution because they're going around the world because they're stopped. They can't have access to any information. They want to know why this is happening. And they listen to the Quran and they realize that's what happened. The Quran was revealed. Two sections, ayah 1 to 19, which is feedback from the jinn about themselves and the Quran. So they used to eavesdrop on angelic conversations. They found they're intercepted. They hear the Prophet and they realize they've been deceived by shaitan. And they talk about themselves. Second section, Allah's response about the role of the Prophet, and he's telling the Prophet to say this. The Prophet only calls upon Allah. He doesn't control good or evil. He seeks refuge only from Allah. He delivers the messages ordered, and it is only Allah who is the knower of the unseen. Except he will give some information to those that he deems, as we call ma'soom, whether it's the Prophets or the Imams. That was actually Surah Al-Jin. Such a beautiful surah. Absolutely amazing.